VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today. It's going to be a news roundup day here today on the program. And friends, we've got a lot of heavy things that we need to share with you today to be understanding of where we're at. And I know I've often referred to 2 Timothy, and I believe there are so many things we can learn from this epistle that Paul wrote to Timothy, his final epistle, before he went through execution, martyrdom. Paul, in essence, had a news roundup with Timothy. In chapter 3, this know also in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. We also learn later in the chapter as well that there are those that about deception, that those that would be deceived and being deceived. And what did Paul tell Timothy in light of these times? And this is what I'm going to tell you today, too. Continue in the things which you have learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. He reminded Timothy also on the inspiration of the Word of God, where he said it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So Scripture tells us what is right, what is not right, how to get right, how to stay right. It is right there in Scripture. And then he said, Timothy, preach the word. And so we're going to talk about some of the perilous times in which we are in. And we're going to look at a number of stories here today of issues that are going on in our nation today and around the world today. And should grieve our hearts, just as this grieves our hearts from 2 Timothy chapter 3 as well, as to the issues that are impacting us in this world and the things to expect, but to not be surprised by these things. But the admonition, in light of these things in which we're going to be hearing even today, is to have your faith and trust in the Word of God. It's to have your eyes focused on Scripture, focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, and to proclaim His Word. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the only thing that will change the heart of mankind. With that being said, let's go into our news roundup here today. We've got a lot of issues that are going on with matters pertaining, yes, to COVID once again, because there is much, much, much taking place across this nation. Many warnings that are going forth, many, many policies that are being put into place. There's a lot of dictatorial type powers that are coming from a number of administrators of cities or counties or states in this regard, and even from the federal government itself. So, friends, we'll keep our eyes certainly on the Lord, but to be understanding of the times in which we live. I'd like to begin with a story today from WND.com in which Jane Orient from the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons warns, saying, in addition to being subjected to various forms of censorship for the first time in living memory, American doctors are getting threat letters from licensure boards warning them against disturbing, harmful misinformation, and that's in quotes. Medical boards in 12 states have disciplined doctors because of this allegation. While it is claimed that there's an epidemic of misinformation during the COVID-19 pandemic, the warnings don't spell out what that means. In fact, no patients need to have suffered any harm at all for the medical board to investigate a doctor's no longer free speech. All it takes is an anonymous complaint. Pharmacists that were converted into the overseers of physicians' prescribing practices will complain that a doctor has prescribed ivermectin for COVID-19. Or an employer might complain that a doctor supported a worker's request for a medical exemption that wasn't on the CDC's list of acceptable reasons. Harmful misinformation, she says, appears to mean anything that contradicts or asks questions or raises concern or doubt about the dogma that vaccines are safe and effective or suggest a treatment not endorsed by the FDA or the CDC or the NIH and their corporate sponsors. She says also viewed as misinformation is the opinion of physicians and researchers that hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, and other repurposed drugs are beneficial in COVID-19, as shown in more than 1,000 studies. Reports of dying patients who recovered when hospitals were legally forced to step aside and allow off-protocol treatment are ignored. The safe option for doctors is to promote the jab or keep silent, and not to suggest anything different from what Anthony Fauci approves. By silencing doctors who are ethical professionals, one opens the gates for the reckless charlatans. That is medical doctor Jane Orient, American Association of Physicians and Surgeons. Now, periodically we'll hear from individuals, somebody, even the medical professional, just challenging. This is your colleagues. I'm just the reporter. I'm just reporting what's going on here, folks. As we take a look at some other issues going on, New American has the story. The U.S. Supreme Court just left in place New York's COVID-19 vaccine mandate for healthcare workers that allows for no religious exemptions. We reported that on Monday this week. The court rejected by 6-3 a vote, a request by 20 anonymous doctors and nurses to grant an injunction against the arguably unlawful mandate. Only Justices Clarence Thomas, Sam Alito, and Neil Gorsuch voted to grant the injunction. Typical of emergency injunction cases, none of the judges in the majority provide an explanation for their vote, but Gorsuch, joined by Alito, took to task the 14-page dissenting opinion against that against the majority, saying that doctors and nurses who filed the suit in the companion case have gone to great lengths to serve their patients during the COVID-19 pandemic. Yet these people are now facing the loss of their jobs and eligibility for unemployment benefits because their sincerely held religious beliefs do not allow them to take the shots, while the state authorities claim their beliefs are invalid and irrelevant. Gorsuch continued by stating that the free exercise clause of the First Amendment protects not only the right to hold unpopular religious beliefs inwardly and secretly, but grants the right to live out those beliefs publicly in the performance of physical acts. Gorsuch also noted that under the free exercise clause, government cannot act in a manner that passes judgment upon or presupposes the illegitimacy of religious beliefs and practices. And if there's even a slight suspicion that the government prevents people from exercising their religion, such actions should be set aside, including those of the state of New York. Well, American Military News reporting the Air Force has kicked out 27 airmen for refusing the COVID vaccine so far. And we also have it reported from Seattle Times. More than 14,000 Army personnel who remain unvaccinated join another 25,000 approximately in the active duty Air Force, Navy, Marines, who have also challenged the Biden administration's directive according to a review of each person's official data. An additional 10,700 troops in the Air Force Reserve and Air National Guard remain unvaccinated past their December 2nd deadline, pushing the military's overall tally of holdouts closer to 50,000. New Americans reporting that U.S. military leadership is mulling whether to require COVID booster shots now for troops, while also acknowledging that thousands of active duty personnel have yet to take their first shot. So already they're considering forcing the booster on every member of the military as well. WND.com reporting that due to concerns about blood clots, an advisory panel, I say hello, haven't we been talking about the blood clotting that's going on and the subsequent effects of this, the PEs that have been happening as a result? Well, now, due to concerns about blood clots, an advisory panel to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention unanimously voted to recommend two-dose Pfizer and Moderna mRNA vaccines over the one-shot Johnson & Johnson. The CDC released new data this week showing more cases of blood clots have occurred since the agency temporarily halted Johnson & Johnson vaccine in April. Researchers have found that women between the ages of 30 and 49 are most affected by the blood clotting. Dr. Isaac C., a CDC official, said yesterday that health officials have confirmed some 54 cases of blood clotting due to the J&J vaccine. Nine have been fatal. Two more deaths are suspected to be related to blood clotting. That's their numbers. About 16 million doses of the J&J vaccine have been administered in the U.S., and about 470 million doses of the Pfizer and Moderna shots. According to the American Society of Hematology, symptoms of blood clots typically occur about 6 to 14 days after injection. Now, friends, do you hear that? 6 to 14 days. Now, what's interesting is that until one is considered fully vaccinated, they're deemed to be unvaccinated, not fully vaccinated. And so if those conditions happen within just days after the jab, they're considered to be among the unvaccinated. And that's why so many of the unvaccinated are being blamed for these rise in COVID cases and hospitalizations. Let's go on to another story here today. In light of the article asking if the New Zealand government had been duly informed by Pfizer about the safety risk of their vax, Dr. Robert Malone wonders if this company is not potentially facing a major international scandal. Dr. Robert Malone, folks, and I'm looking at LifeSciNews.com, he is the original inventor of the mRNA vaccine technology, pointed out in comments to LifeSite News that this scandal will occur if it becomes clear that Pfizer has hidden side effects from governments while receiving protection from liability for vaccine injuries. Dr. Malone made the comments. He promoted on Twitter an article by a dietitian, Guy Hatchard, published in the recently founded New Zealand-based news and opinion website. Hatchard reported that a U.S. court had ordered the FDA Pfizer to publish a confidential document that showed that by February this year, they were already aware of very high numbers of possible side effects of the vaccine, many of which were gravely dangerous. The story goes on there, folks, but the man who invented this technology for the mRNA says that he's predicting a major international scandal for Pfizer if they hid adverse effects from the public, and that while at the same time receiving a cover. You know, you cannot bring action against them. Now, again, to physicians, the inventor of the mRNA technology has issued a video statement explaining why more than 15,000 physicians and medical scientists around the world have signed a declaration that healthy children should not be vaccinated for COVID-19. Dr. Robert Malone has worked for 3 decades in vaccine research and development, speaking as a parent, a grandparent, a physician, as a scientist. He explained he's been vaccinated for COVID, and he's generally pro-vax, having devoted his entire career to developing safe and effective ways to prevent and treat infectious diseases. But he warned parents that the decision to inject their children is irreversible, and they need to be aware of the scientific facts about this genetic vaccine, which is based on the mRNA vaccine technology that he created. And he spotlighted 3 key areas. He said, for the first is that, folks, this is not me, so don't blame me. This is the man who invented the mRNA. The first is that the Pfizer and Moderna mRNA vaccines inject a viral gene that forces the body to make toxic spike proteins. The proteins, he said, can cause permanent damage in children's critical organs, including their brain and nervous system, their heart and blood vessels, including blood clots, reproductive system, and immune system, emphasizing that such damage is irreparable. He said you can't fix lesions within the brain, heart tissue scarring, or a genetically reset immune system. Secondly, he said the novel vaccine technology has not been adequately tested. Finally, he contended that the reason public health officials are giving you to vaccinate your child is a lie, he said. Your children represent no danger. This is his words. I'm quoting, your children represent no danger to their parents or grandparents. In summary, he said, no benefit for your children or your family to be vaccinating your children against the small risk of the virus. End of quote. Dr. Robert Malone, the inventor of mRNA. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, why do scientific dating methods seem to indicate that the world has a vast age?
Chris, in most dating efforts, you must observe a present-day process and the state of that system affected by that process. Then you conclude how long it would take for that process to produce the present state. The main assumption is that the rate of that process has never been much different than it is now. For instance, we might date the Mississippi Delta by estimating how long it would take for the Mississippi River to bring enough silt down to build up that huge delta. But if a great flood had occurred in the past, the rate of delta buildup might have been much different than today. If we include Noah's flood in our thinking, then most dating techniques actually give a date far too young to allow for evolution to occur. They're consistent with the biblical doctrine of the young earth, the one we read about back in Genesis.
For more information, visit our website at icr.org.
It's the News Roundup Day here today on Crosstalk. Just sharing with you what's going on. Folks, we've heard from the inventor of the mRNA technology that brought about the Pfizer and Moderna shot. There is also a Columbia study out saying that the true U.S. COVID vaccine death count is 400,000. This is from WND.com. The story here, the CDC's latest count of deaths contributed to COVID-19 vaccine is nearly 20,000. Now, that's by the VAERS, okay? That's their number. I'm looking at it right now, 19,886. That's of December 3rd. Likely by the end of today, it'll be updated to December 10th. But their count is 19,886 as I see it today through December 3rd. But the study by researchers at Columbia University estimates the actual number is 20 times higher. The Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, or VAERS, reports, I just mentioned the number of deaths, over 102,000 hospitalizations, a total of 946,461 adverse effects due to COVID-19 vaccines through December 3rd. If the Columbia study's underreporting factor is correct, it would mean that there are nearly 400,000 deaths due to the shots. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services points out that a VAERS report is not documentation that a link has been established between a vaccine and an adverse event. However, HHS also notes that VAERS is a passive system of reporting and it receives reports for only a small fraction of actual adverse events. Many healthcare workers have disclosed that they are instructed by their superiors not to report to VAERS any harm caused by COVID vaccines. WND.com has a story update here about the Walgreens having a tough time of public relations. Keep rising here, mixing up flu shots with COVID shots. A family in Evansville, Indiana, said they were all given adult doses of the Pfizer COVID vaccine instead of the flu shot on October 4th. That was reported to by WFIE television. The family's two children, ages 4 and 5 years old, had this was not even before the shot was approved for children. We find that their attorney, Daniel Tooley, told the station that both children have seen a pediatric cardiologist and both are exhibiting symptoms of heart problems. WND.com, a former advisor to the World Health Organization, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, has compiled a list of more than 400 studies showing that COVID-19 lockdowns, shelter-in-place policies, school closures, mask and mask mandates have failed to curb virus transmission or reduce deaths. These restrictive policies were ineffective and devastating failures, causing immense harm, especially to the poor and vulnerable within societies, wrote Dr. Paul Alexander for the Brownstone Institute in an article which he lists the studies. He said that while nearly all governments have attempted compulsory measures to control the virus, the research shows that no government can claim that they have a discernible impact on virus trajectories. The Daily Caller reporting the city of Philadelphia announced Monday that all facilities that sell food or drinks soon would have to require proof of vax for customers to partake in their offerings beginning January 3, 2022. New York Post reporting county officials in New York statewide opposed to the governor's mask mandate there, calling it silly and misguided and unenforceable. We understand that a quarter of New York counties are refusing to become mask police. Daily Caller telling us about their Kroger store, supermarket chain. The largest supermarket chain, some 465,000 employees nationwide. They announced Tuesday they will eliminate paid emergency leave for unvaccinated employees who contract COVID-19, in addition to requiring some of them to pay a monthly $50 health insurance surcharge starting in 2022, according to a company memo. Can you hear the exit doors opening up with employees doing a mass exodus from Kroger? I mean, we've got a Kroger store not far from where I live, and they're struggling to get employees in. Do you think this is going to help the matter? Western Journal reporting, a 56-year-old man died last month after California paramedics allegedly refused to enter a care facility to assist him while he was not breathing. Rio Alto, California, 911 call was made from an acute care center. First responders sent there at about in the evening, and when the police arrived, the fire responders were at the door of the facility, but they would not go in, saying that that COVID restrictions prevented them from going in. And here you have a patient that's under severe physical trauma. And they would refuse it. The policeman actually had to go and push the bed with no wheels onto the door before paramedics would even work on you. How far are we going to take this across the nation? And now here it's reported as well by Western Journal that members of Congress blasting Washington, D.C. for not only the deplorable conditions of the jail for the January 6th protesters where they're being detained, but now it's also been reported that they are forced to get COVID shots in order to speak to their attorneys. Hear about the airline executives that testified, CEOs of two of the four largest U.S. airlines, surprised Democratic members of the U.S. Senate when they testified that mask mandates are unnecessary on board commercial flights. I mean, this is the two CEOs of airline companies. The case is very strong that masks don't add much of anything in the air cabin environment, said Southwest Airlines CEO Gary Kelly during the Senate Commerce, Science, and Technology, or rather Transportation Committee hearing. A very safe and very high quality compared to any other indoor setting. I concur, added American Airlines CEO Doug Parker. An aircraft is the safest place you can be. It's true. All of our aircraft, they all have the HEPA filters and airflow. They're saying that those masks don't really add much. We've got good safety precautions in place. Okay, let's move on to some other issues here. This is interesting. Let's go to Arizona. Thank you to... for the story sent to us, Pima County Attorney's Office officially stopped charging individuals arrested for simple drug possession on Tuesday due to COVID-19 spreading through the jail population. Isn't that amazing? Back in the peak of the pandemic, their county attorney, Barbara LaWall, implemented an order that they would not charge personal possession and paraphernalia cases due to COVID. They can't have COVID spread. Just let people go. Townhall.com, Vice President Kamala Harris said in an interview, women will die if the Supreme Court of the United States overturns Roe v. Wade. Currently, the court's weighing. Doesn't she know that women are dying? The girls are dying every single day. Women will die, she said, weighing this Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization. We understand the case will come to us in likely June. It'll be released to us. Wisconsin Democrat Attorney General Josh Call, this is from WLUK, said in an interview Tuesday he will not investigate or prosecute anyone for having an abortion should Roe v. Wade be overturned. LifeNews.com, in another long, long list of actions President Biden has taken to promote killing babies and abortions, he has authorized sales of the dangerous abortion pill nationwide, in addition to killing hundreds of thousands of unborn children. The abortion pill has killed at least two dozen women and injured tens of thousands of women across the country. Now, Mrs. Vice President, if you're concerned about women's lives being lost, why don't you stand up against these pills that are being sent out across the country, the abortion pill? Are you 46? The Biden administration moved to weaken longstanding federal safety regulations against mail-order abortion drugs designed to protect women from serious health risk and potential abuse. But now their new policy allows for dangerous at-home, do-it-yourself abortions without necessary medical oversight. Well, folks, even if there is medical oversight, you don't want to give somebody something that's going to kill their baby, intentionally kill their baby. The abortion pill is a two-drug regimen taken up to 10 weeks into pregnancy and causes the death of the unborn child. The first drug blocks the natural hormone progesterone, starving the developing baby to death, while the second drug induces labor to expel the baby from the womb. And the FDA nominee that President Biden has come forth with, Robert Califf, is the choice for commissioner by the Biden administration. He is one that served under Barack Obama. And under his leadership, the FDA weakened safety regulations for RU-486. I don't even like that term, safety regulations for a drug to kill a baby. In the UK, new government health data shows a massive hospitalization rate due to abortion drugs after the government began allowing mail-order abortion drugs in 2020. According to data, more than 10,000 women who received the abortion drugs by mail needed hospital treatment in 2020, about 1 in 17 women. Well, let's go to the New York Post. You know, so many of these stories are kind of like, what in the world? Well, every dog in New Jersey might soon be entitled to food, water, regular walks, and a court-appointed lawyer. Recently proposed state legislation would allow judges to appoint lawyers for animal victims and cruelty cases. The bill, which passed unanimously in the Senate earlier this year and is awaiting an assembly vote, would create a courtroom animal advocate program in the Garden State. If passed, lawyers and third-year law students could volunteer as liaisons between the court and the abused animal as a cruelty case moves through the legal system, ensuring the creatures don't get forgotten. Story in the New York Post. Okay, it's another big NFL weekend. What is the NFL doing now? The National Football League, and I'm looking here at Western Journal. National Football League has been on the left side of the political aisle for years, but new donations from the league show just how radical it has become. According to Fox Business, the NFL provides financial backing to social justice organizations as part of its Inspire Change initiative. Some of these groups reportedly advocate for the abolition of police forces. The NFL donated $300,000 to the Oregon Justice Resource Center last month. In a June 2020 tweet, this OJRC bluntly expressed its support for defunding the police. The brutality of law enforcement and cruelty of our prisons are connected by the same malignant tumor, white supremacy, the group said. We must dismantle, defund it all. So what does NFL do? Well, let's send them a check. In addition, Fox reported that the NFL gave an undisclosed amount of money to the Vera Institute of Justice and the Community Justice Exchange. They describe themselves as an abolitionist organization. That means we believe that we're working toward a world without prisons, without policing or prosecution, surveillance, or any form of detention or supervision. NFL ready to write the check. WND.com, what's the latest Democrats spending spree? Joe Biden's latest approval before it becomes law. Yeah, we're talking about this pushing up the deficit another $3 trillion with this massive bill that's before Congress. They want to put all these medical and family and medical leave for workers. And we understand to make further the monthly payouts of the child tax credit going out to individual. Also, they're trying to bring about reform in immigration through this thing. The Senate parliamentarian for the third time has rejected this. WND.com tells us a new report of the Daily Mail charging that the White House is holding secret meetings with news organizations to tell them to report more favorably on the president, as if they need any help doing that. Okay, let's go to Fox 32 Chicago. The smash and grabs in Chicago and the surrounding suburbs seem to be a weekly occurrence. Now Lori Lightfoot, the mayor there, under fire for her comments saying stores are not doing enough. Now, isn't the mayor supposed to be, you know, having a police force that's going to be enforcing the law? She's putting the blame on the retailers. She said, we've got to push retailers, some of the retailers downtown on Michigan Avenue. I'm disappointed that they're not doing more to take safety and make it a priority. And talking about having, they need to have more security officers in the store and making sure they've got cameras and are actually operational, locking up their merchandise at nighttime. The problem is the retailers, folks. Didn't you know that? Back in a minute, this is Crosstalk.
Robert Sheffy was an itinerant circuit-riding preacher committed to proclaiming the gospel to the mountain folk in the eastern U.S. At the 200th anniversary of his birth, Unusual Films released a special, restored, high-definition edition of the powerful film, Sheffy. VCY is making available a Sheffy combination pack to reach a whole new generation. The pack includes both a Blu-ray and DVD, and even a digital download. Also included are public showing rights, enabling churches and schools that own a copy to show it publicly. While normal retail is $19.95, VCY is offering one combo pack for a donation of $15, and each additional combo for a donation of just $10 more. You can obtain 10 combo sets for a donation of just $75. Call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
It's the News Roundup Day here on Crosstalk today, and several more things I would like to bring to your attention. First of all, would like to, and one of our listeners in Phoenix brought this to our attention, asking prayer for Phoenix police officer Tyler Modolvin, fighting for his life after being shot multiple times in the line of duty. A very incredibly somber time for the Phoenix Police Department and the entire community, but even so, more so for his family, his wife, his children. And ask that you keep him in prayer. Understand he's been on life support. We won't go into the details of his being shot, but certainly ask that you be praying for Phoenix officer Tyler Modolvin. Looking at some other news here today, also out of Arizona from CNSNews.com, the Pinal County Sheriff Mark Lamb told Fox Business Wednesday that the number of illegal immigrants sneaking across the southwest border is the worst he's ever seen. And the Biden administration is enabling illegals and the cartels to make more money than they've ever made before. He said, quote, "This is the worst we've ever seen. It was bad under Obama, but it's atrocious under Joe Biden. We're seeing that human trafficking and drug trafficking is off the charts, and it's not something that just affects Texas and Arizona." He talked about how this also is impacting the nation as a whole. I'm just guessing that there's a number of people listening to this program today that are glued to the Hallmark Channel. Well, this is a warning as it comes to us. The Los Angeles Times is the source of the story. They're not coming with a warning, but they are alerting us that Hallmark's holiday fair is going to be making a homosexual couple part of the family. This Sunday, evidently, they have a special called The Christmas House, part of a bumper crop of, and this is their words, queer inclusive holiday fare this season. Alongside Netflix's A New York Christmas Wedding and Hulu's Happiest Season, Lifetime's The Christmas Setup, and Paramount Network's Dashing in December, debuts nearly a year after Hallmark Channel pulled ads for a wedding planning website that featured a same-sex couple kissing, then swiftly reversed the ban following the public outcry. This August, Hallmark included its first portrayal of a same-sex union in one of its original movies. Michelle Vicari, executive vice president of programming, told The Times that the movie was written to reflect the reality of countless families all over the world and signals our commitment to expanding our programming through modern storytelling in a way that allows everyone to share in the Hallmark experience. According to the LA Times, it is called The Christmas House that is to be airing on Sunday. Looking at other news here, discussing a library in Fairfax County, Virginia. This is from ElizabethJohnson.org. Faced a swift backlash after opting to include two sexually explicit books featuring graphic depictions of sexual acts, including pedophilia, next to the Holy Bible in a display celebrating holiday reading. What's more, the books have received a nationwide attention after a mother read the graphic sexual content out loud during a school board meeting in September, promoting the school to temporarily pull the books from the school libraries for review. The Bible, meanwhile, was depicted as being held by a gnome with a rainbow hat. The objectionable books, by the way, had been reinstated. But Fairfax County, Virginia, features sexually explicit LGBT books next to the display of the Holy Bible. Christian Post reporting a federal judge has ruled that a New York-based Christian photographer must provide services for same-sex wedding celebrations despite her holding religious objections to so-called same-sex marriage, homosexual marriage. And folks, this one just really is just blasphemous, what is going on. As Reformation Charlotte reporting, a drag queen story hour has been not only a perversion plaguing public libraries and schools around the nation for several years, but what about drag queen prayer time for children during Sunday morning worship at church? That's exactly what St. Luke's Lutheran Church of Logan Square did this past weekend. After having a man dress up as a woman and preach the Sunday morning sermon, the man then called the children to the front where he led them in prayer. You can rest assured that prayer wasn't to God, though. According to the church's Facebook post, the event was a dress rehearsal for joy, where seminarian Aaron Musser preaches in drag, inviting us to reflect on a joy that overflows so abundantly it can't help but make itself known. Philadelphia Public Schools is going to be allowing students to change gender identity without informing parents. The superintendent there announced that the schools will begin allowing students to self-select their gender identity for school records, including new non-binary option. The policy, which took effect on Monday, affirms an alleged right of students who falsely consider themselves as transgender and gender nonconforming to select and identify their preferred name and gender, even when theirs is different from what is printed on their birth certificate. Superintendent noted that students must have the opportunity to update their gender identification preference without providing legal documentation or needing parent or guardian approval. The preference will then be reflected on digital school learning systems like Google Classroom, as well as on assessments, report cards. However, state records would not be updated since Pennsylvania law requires the student's records to accord with their legal birth certificate. Talk about confusion. By the way, you wonder, does pushback work? Indeed, it does. Here we have from LifeSiteNews.com, multiple parents threatened to withdraw their children from the Phoenix area schools. In another recent victory for parents against LGBT ideology creeping into public schools, a Phoenix area high school stopped a Transgender Awareness Week after a wave of backlash from local parents and students. Estrella Foothills High School had planned a week of school-wide pro-transgender activities last month in honor of National Transgender Awareness Month. According to public records requests, the activities included having students advertise their preferred pronouns with name tags, encouraging them to wear rainbow pride outfits and the pink of white and white colors of the transgender flag. The school's pro-LGBT Coexist Club spearheaded the initiative. There was a language arts teacher involved and so forth, but parents spoke up, and we understand this was now canceled. The Arizona High School canceled this due to parents speaking up. Let's go to San Francisco. An ordinance, this is from KOMO, an ordinance suspending San Francisco's cannabis business tax, unanimously approved by city supervisors. San Francisco Supervisor Rafael Mandelman, the ordinance's author, said in a statement, suspending the business tax on cannabis will help support, just get this, folks, will help support local cannabis retailers as they struggle to compete with illegal cannabis sellers. Illegal sellers of cannabis skirt paying those taxes and are able to offer products at a lower cost, which entices consumers to purchase their product instead of legal sellers. The new ordinance suspends the business tax through December 31st of 2022. One other story here today that greatly troubled me, and it comes to us from our home city of Milwaukee. The National Bobblehead Hall of Fame and Museum unveiled four bobbleheads of Jesus Christ. The new collection of Jesus Christ bobbleheads includes a full-size bobblehead and bobblehead ornament, a dashboard mini bobblehead, and a mantle mate bobblehead sits on the shelf ledger desk. Produced by the National Bobblehead Hall of Fame and Museum. Features a barefooted Jesus wearing a white tunic and a blue mantle. He has his arms outstretched with palms and is standing on a gold circular base bearing his name. The mantle mate bobblehead sits on any flat surface like a mantle, desk, table. Folks, making a bobblehead of our Savior? I'd like to open some phone lines here today on Crosstalk. I've got more stories, but if you'd like to speak out on any of these issues here today, or if you have an current events issue you'd like to bring up to the forum, I do have so many additional stories, so many things we did not get to here today, but our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. Any way to mock Jesus we can. We're seeing that happen. We can do it in our society today. Try doing that against Muhammad. Try blaspheming Allah and see where that gets you in this world. Jesus? Oh, he's fair game. My friends, Jesus, there's no name that's more precious than his. One day every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And what do we have? We have atheists now as well that have an active atheist group have placed a full-page ad in the New York Times Wednesday of this week warning about the capture of the Supreme Court by Christian nationalist forces. The ad from Freedom From Religion Foundation is entitled Joy to the World. A Bill of Rights is born. And features artwork that plays off traditional images of the Nativity with the Bill of Rights sitting in the manger. And rather than showing baby Jesus, it features this Bill of Rights, and Mary and Joseph and the wise men are replaced by the nation's founders and the Statue of Liberty. Full-page ad intends to honor the ratification of the Bill of Rights, which happened on December the 15th. Let's go to the phone lines here today. We're going to begin with Ann in Milwaukee. Ann, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to make a comment about the COVID vaccines. And I've noticed over a while now that people have realized that they've done the wrong thing by taking these COVID shots, and they either feel sick or they've learned more about it over time. And now they are almost like lashing out at people that aren't taking them as though they're angry that I took the shot, you should have to take it too, even though instead of warning other people, don't take it because of this, that, or the other thing that they've learned or how they, their reactions have been, they're almost lashing out at other people like with the attitude like, I had to take it, now you should have to take it too, regardless of these adverse reactions that these shots have had. So I don't know if I'm the only one noticing this, but I've noticed it a lot more lately. So I'll leave it at that, and maybe other people feel the same way or have noticed it too. So thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Sherry in Milwaukee. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi, Jim. Merry Christmas. I want to thank you for all the wonderful work you do. Just quickly, I just want to say we have a world that's run by a bunch of mad scientists and technocrats. And please, everybody, get the book by RFK Jr. called The Real Anthony Fauci.
Thank you for your comments, Sherry.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Let's go to Phoenix, Arizona. Douglas, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say how disappointed I was to hear that Estrella Foothills was having that transgender week, but I'm glad the parents got it off. That's actually where my brother went to high school, but I'm glad to say that he is now in a local independent fundamentalist Bible college.
Tremendous. Thank you, Douglas. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Frank in Salina, Kansas, you're on the air.
Yeah, my name is Frank, and, you know, I just want to give you credit, man, for, you know, not being afraid, because, truthfully, after every this cancel culture thing, it just makes me think, how long will you be on the air? You know, my biggest thing is, when is enough enough?
Yeah.
I mean, where does it really come to an end? I mean, because obviously, like you said, the mother showed up to the school board. She did that. They tell you everything that, like Isaiah chapter, I think, 6 says, moral perversion. And it's like, where does it really end? You know what I mean? What is it going to take?
Well, it's going in one of two directions, Frank. Either it's going to lead a nation to repentance and turning back to God, or it's going to lead toward that which is everlasting destruction and judgment that's coming. We have seen nations come up, and we've seen them taken apart because of their rebellion and sinfulness against God. It's going one of two directions, either repentance and forgiveness, or it's that which is going to take it really further down the sewer.
Thank you for the call.
I'm up against a break. We'll be back in a minute here. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, the number 800-733-9829.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. In 1995, I wrote a book entitled Reclaiming a Nation at Risk, and on page 143 to 144, I wrote this, quote, suppose our government puts a vaccination tracking system in place, as we discussed earlier. Not only are they tracking vaccinations, but under outcome-based education, they're tracking attitudes, values, feelings, and emotions. Add the IRS into the component, and I smell a rat. What happens, however, if our leaders are not moral and not honest? What if those in control of these tracking systems decide that certain individuals and groups of people hold politically incorrect values and beliefs and need to be retrained? Could such a vaccination and attitude tracking system be used to persecute or eliminate those who do not accept the government's way of thinking? End quote. Many of the things I was writing about then were seen to be extreme. Now, they are reality. I'm Brandon House.
It's the News Roundup Day here today on Crosstalk. We thank you for tuning in. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Ronald in New Berlin, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yeah, I got to tell you a true story, and I'll let you go. I had a Dr. Schneider, and I was going to see him, and then one day I came to see him, and he said, Ron, I'm no longer going to be your doctor. And I said, what? And he said, they say I'm not taking enough patients. Hmm. I said, how many are you getting a day? And I think he said 8 or something like that. So after that, he left. But he did say something very prophetic then. He said, it looks like big business is taking over medicine.
Well.
That's what he said.
Well, and aren't we seeing it? Aren't we seeing it?
Yeah. Now it's happening today.
Thank you, Ronald.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to David next. David, you're on the air.
I'd like to just thank God for you, Jim, and Matt Staver, and that I pray has a protection around you and your families because of your boldness in the Lord, your watchman on the wall. And I'd just like to say the great event, the news story coming up, is what our calendar is based on. It's 2,021 years ago when Father God sent the second person of the Godhead, the Word become flesh, and live a perfect sinless life as a man and taste death, hell, and the grave for us and get rose again so we could have eternal life. Mm-hmm. There's no word atheist in the Bible. It really says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, or yeah. Really could say, no, God, I don't want you. So I just want to share that. Yeah. I love you.
Thank you, David, for the call. And, you know, I think of the angel speaking to Mary and just saying, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. Friends, that Savior has come. And certainly that's what will truly change the heart of mankind is to recognize that we are in a sinful, lost condition. But Jesus Christ has come, our Savior, who paid the penalty for our sin on the cross of Calvary. He died. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And the good news is this gift of eternal life available to all. We have Kathleen calling from Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin. Kathleen, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. I get really tired of everybody, like, telling everybody all the bad stuff that is going to happen and all this stuff. And I ask, where is our faith? Are we supposed to walk by faith and not by sight?
Mm-hmm.
Are we not the difference that is supposed to be made?
Well, indeed. But we also are a watchman on the wall, and we have to certainly alert when we see the dangers that are out there. But we, as we warn, we also share the good news, Kathleen. And as,
yeah, but we need to do it in faith, with faith, mm-hmm. I believe.
Indeed.
I believe we have to have faith. And
yep.
When we talk about how bad things are or what bad things are going to happen, not just prognosticating evil, but with a reason that we are to rise up
mm-hmm.
and to have faith. We are to go out and preach the gospel to every creature.
Yep. Yep.
We are to pray believing. We are to love. We are to activate, not just moan and groan and speak about all the evil. And it almost gets to the point where people get off on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, to me, it seems like people almost enjoy wallowing in the pit. Like, I don't know why, but it almost seems that yeah. way to me. I believe we are to start to have faith when the going gets tough. The tough going, you know?
Thank you, Kathleen. I appreciate your call, and I agree. We need to have faith, and we also need to be faithful. And we call out sin, we call out perversion, and we point people to Jesus Christ as Savior. Yes, we do that in faith, believing, and that's why we share it even at the very beginning of the program, the very basis for doing what we're doing here. And as Paul warned Timothy, what times would be like, but to stay faithful to the Word of God, and that's what we call each to do as well. Thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Colleen is next in Venice, Florida. You're on the air, Colleen.
Hi. Sounds like it's an appreciation day for Crosstalk. I just wanted to echo what some of the other callers said and say thank you for all that you're doing and getting the word out and remind people that we need to be praying every day for you guys there and also tithing. Christmas is a good time for tithing. Mm. Okay, thank you so much. We really appreciate your boldness. Hear things here that I don't hear anywhere else.
Colleen, thanks for the
Merry
call.
Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas to you as well. Appreciate your call here today from Venice, Florida. Folks, another thing that is lurking out there from CNSNews.com, kind of interesting. How would you feel about Congress snatching away your credit card or preventing you from participating in credit card reward programs? Don't laugh. Left-wing groups in Washington are declaring that the plastic card in your wallet is the financial villain that needs to get reined in. A new study from researchers at the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston finds that credit card reward programs are unfair because they create an implicit money transfer to wealthy cardholders from lower-income people who buy things with cash or debit cards. The study implies that consumers who pay with plastic and rack up reward points receive a $756 subsidy per year, while the poorer people who pay with cash pay $23 more. Left-wing politicians, left-wing agitators, they actually say in the article, have asked the Federal Reserve Board and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau to do something about these inequities. Don't be surprised if congressional members who hate credit card companies, including Durbin of Illinois, call for regulations or cancellations of reward programs. CNSNews.com had that story there. Kind of interesting indeed as well. Well, friends, we thank you for tuning into Crosstalk here on VCY America. These are troubling times. They are. Paul referred to them as perilous times, grievous times, hard to bear times. But in light of these times, we need to stay faithful. Recognize that these things are coming, but we need to remember the things that we've learned from God's Word. We need to remember that God's Word is true. It's inspired by God. God's Word tells us how to get right, you know, how to stay right, what is right, what is not right, how to stay right, and how to get right. All of that is what we have in Scripture, and to proclaim His Word. And what better time than this time of year in which we celebrate the birth of the Savior who came to this earth some 2,000 years ago to pay the price for sinful mankind. Didn't stay a baby. Certainly He grew and took our sin upon Himself, as Isaiah 53:6 said, all we like sheep have gone astray, and He hath turned Him unto His own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Jesus Christ bore our sins on the cross of Calvary because of His great love for us that brings about eternal life to those who place their trust in Him. We would encourage you to keep your eyes on the Savior. Turn from your evil, sinful ways, from me as well. Folks, the gift of salvation is available to all. I praise God for my faith in Jesus Christ and the one who paid the price for me. I trust that you too will accept the Savior. Our time is gone. Trust for being a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching local church this Lord's Day. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.